وعلى آل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وله بلا أبدا قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وعجزت عن نعته أوهام الواصفين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وحبيبكم وطبيب قلوبنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وحبيب الله رب العالمين أبو القاسم محمد. وعلي الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله الأعظم بقية الله حرمكم كل المؤمنين ولعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه المجيد: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون الإخوة فأصلحوا بين إخوانكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد. If you may have noticed that the verse which we begin the discussions tonight is إنما المؤمنون إخوة. As we discuss reality to a certain detail and how it manifests in the realm of brotherhood, which is the intermediary realm, then from there it must and it manifests into the time and space, the physical realm, which is called Ukhuwat, which is brotherhood. And a very beautiful verse which points out to in Surah Hujurat, and this is verse number 10, which says, certainly mu'minun, those who are the believers, they are considered as brothers. So rectify them amongst each other, and at the same time, wattaqullah la'allakum turhamun. And be God conscious, perhaps Allah will have mercy upon you. I mean, even in this verse, however, I just wanted to give a recap, and I will. But if we pay attention to this verse, there is two, three, four realities here. One is the issue of, obviously, you know, mu'minun, you know, and ikhwa. Then you have faslihu, meaning islah, reform amongst each other. So that means that the possibility that two brothers might have difference of opinion exists. So therefore it's saying, well, brothers, so reform, you know, rectify the faults or whatever differences that you have. That's one. Then at the same time you have the element of taqwa there. So when you are reconciling with each other, make sure you are God conscious. So not just because you think it is right and you gotta impose what you think it is right on them. No, be God weary, be God conscious. You know, that's number three. And at the same time, la'allakum, you know, it says turhamun. You know, it returns back to that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again. So meaning that, you know, a very sort of brief understanding of the verse is that, okay, this nizah or this differences that have occurred between two brothers, by me paying attention to God consciousness, being God wary, now I'm kind of like entering to that intermediary realm, and then tarhamun, you know, and then eventually it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it is. It's ending and entering into that mercy, into that realm of mercy of God. So it begins between you and me, and then that being God conscious in sort of this relationship, that is that intermediary, that I see God here, you know, I pay attention to that intermediary, and then it takes on a higher level, which is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what's, you know, the whole, you know,
hidden meaning behind this verse is that if one pays attention. So recite Salawat ala Muhammad wa Allah. We will look into the Shan al-Nuzul, why it was revealed, and then we will also pay attention to some of the tradition that is in regards to the brotherhood. Recently, I was informed that the speech title is Brotherhood. What is he talking about? We haven't heard the one, you know, phrase of Brotherhood and Rahwa. You know, still, you know, Maulana is somewhere else. Anyway, so far, what we have discussed. Last night, you know, we kind of looked at two of Allama's, writings in regards to the or understanding in regards to the concept of entering this realm of the unseen realm, the interior realm, in which we pointed out to the issue of Islam-e-Akbar. You know, first one accepts Islam. One thing is for sure, each and every this level that we have discussed, that is Islam-e-Akbar, Iman-e-Akbar, Hijrat-e-Kubra, Jihad-e-Akbar, Islam-e-Azam, Iman-e-Azam, and then Hijrat-e-Azim, or, you know, the greatest Hijra. All of these are not like, I will leave Islam and then I will enter Iman-e-Akbar. No. You know, I become perfect, or the Islam-e-Akbar becomes a station for me, and then I go on the second step. It's not like, you know, okay, I've finished Islam-e-Akbar, where I have accepted the faith, for example, just the outward explanation, and then I will not, then I enter, I become mu'min, that doesn't mean that I will deny the wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's annihilation of every station into another station, while one is a champion of that station, of that, while one have conquered that, you know, to its full capacity or to his full potentiality. And then he enters into these different levels of it. That is why, you know, there's a very beautiful verse which I mentioned in Surah Yusuf. We say, وَمَا يُؤْمِنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. You know, the majority of them, you know, those who have brought Iman, they are also mushrik at the same time. So they have that Iman, the ability of Iman, but they, at the same time they have this, you know, shirk khafi, which the Prophet he himself have said in the hadith, very beautiful hadith, which says that, you know, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shirk khafi. You know, I seek refuge in that subtle polytheism, you know, that shirk, which is polytheism. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and the stories of the prophets, what we have seen, for example, Prophet Yunus, you know, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. You know, that is nothing but of that, from that angle, from that point of view, that the Anbiya must have entered that realm of all of these darajat that we are talking about. But however, they made an error, not a sin, and then they are reminded of that, and they seek refuge, and they seek forgiveness. So therefore, even the Anbiya and Awliya are also rectified. Even the Anbiya and Awliya are not let go just like that. So where do we stand? For example, if we pay attention to how beautifully Hazrat Ibrahim, when he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran itself, it says, "Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdi, walladhi huwa yut'imani wa huwa yasqin, wa idha maradtu fahuwa yashfin." All of the zamir, or all of the the meaning of the verse is that all of the positive aspect that is in the verse, such as that you have created me, you have guided me, and then it says, when I become Mariz, you give Shafa. So the limitation is from my side. That's all. That's how Ibrahim, Hazrat Ibrahim is addressing. He's not saying, when you make me ill, you give me Shafa. No, you gotta be careful here. And if he's not, then obviously, you know, there's a repercussion for that. even for a prophet. So when prophet is saying, you know, you are the one who created me, creation is something positive. You are the one who guided me, which is once again positive. You are the one who provides me the sustenance, which is once again positive. And if I become ill, and you give me shifa, so it's that fine, it's that refined reality that is hidden behind the verses of the Quran, behind the seerah of the Anbiya and Awliya, that we really need to pay attention to. I mean, if we are expecting really to enter that, you know, wajibale nabiyyaka alayhi wassalam that we recite after the taqibat of Maghrib, you know, if you want to be in the neighborhood of the Prophet, you know, it's not easy. And one really have to embark upon it. When one would embark? When one would go towards that? It's just providing that lip service with Jibari Nabiyyaka alayhi wasalam. We want to be in the vicinity, in the neighborhood of the Prophet. One really have to start going towards that. And these are the different levels that we have discussed or pointed out to. That one have to go through these all different levels by purifying, by sincerity of their action, which is once again, you know, which we said it is that Jihad al-Akbar, and eventually entering that realm. So therefore, it's not easy, but one has to take that. Now, going back onto the more, more practical discussions now, with that understanding that we have of that phenomena, of that reality, we'll look into these hadith and riwayat in regards to brotherhood. Salatu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So here, this verse, first of all, you know, Surah Hujarat apparently is considered as to be one of the most important surah because of what it contains within it, which is the etiquettes and morality. If one wants to improve one's akhlaq, Surah Hujarat, one should really examine, investigate, look into it. It's not a very big surah, but if one pays attention to the beauty of Surah Hujarat, it's all addressed to Mu'minun. All of the verses is addressing Mu'minun. So that means it's one of the surah that's very deep surah, it's a very important surah. It's not Ya Ayyuhan Nas, or it's not all Muslims, but it's for all of the verses, it's pointing out to Mu'minun. O Mu'minun, do not raise your voices in front of the Prophet. O Mu'minun, do not precede the Prophet. It's all those, O Mu'minun, who have brought Iman, bring Iman. O Mu'minun, do not make fun of the Qabail. It's all addressing the Mu'minun, pointing out to what are the good qualities of a Mu'min, how a mu'min should be. And the shan-e-nuzul, as they say, the reason why this verse was revealed particularly, and before that, there is a bit of discussion that there is, you know, ikhtilaf, differences between the mu'minun, and then the verse says that how to rectify this differences, and after that, this verse is there, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. So, there were two tribes, as they say. One was the tribe of Aus, and the other was the tribe of Khazraj. And they were fighting with each other to the extent they started throwing shoes and sticks and using the sword against each other. At the same time, they were Muslims. At the same time, they were Mu'min. Or in another, some of the exegetists have said that it was really a person who was Ansar, you know, fighting with another mu'min, the same thing, you know, shoes and sticks and, you know, I'll get my right, what you have usurped from me, so on and so forth. And eventually, you know, it was informed, or the Prophet, you know, the Wahi came to the Prophet to resolve this. So first of all, like we said, that the possibility of having difference of opinion amongst the mu'minun exists. So one should not cut one's relationship just because that, you know, he doesn't want to understand my line of thinking. One really need to be more compassionate about, we are talking about mu'min here. I mean, talking about being compassionate, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so compassionate that he even allowed Fir'aun to that limit. Even after Yad-e-Bayda, even after, you know, the staff, the the illuminating hand, the miracles of Tissa, you know, Ayat, the nine miracles which was given to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Even after that, on every instance, Fir'aun was given a chance. That shows the compassionate. We are talking about compassionate. Look, Prophet Lut, when vis-a-vis Qawme Lut, with the homosexuals, how he treated them, how he was respectful to them, at the same time guiding them. He never hated them. You know, when those four angels came and they wanted to go to the city of Sodom, Lut said no, but they insisted. Then they took refuge, or Lut took them to their to his house, and they all gathered, they camped outside the house of Prophet Lut. They said, "You have four, keep two for you, give two to us." But how did Lut respond? With compassion, to the extent the daughters of the Lut, they were prepared and they said that we will marry them. I mean, today we cannot imagine that a father would accept some sort of thing of this accord. That even they are this doing this corruption, this filth, who they are and what they've been doing. But still that compassion from Prophet Lut, still that compassion from the daughters of Prophet Lut. But unfortunately, you know, this is like those who are the corrupt ones, those who are the, you know, indulging in this, you know, sodomy, in this act, horrendous act. But we have reached to a state that with mu'mineen, just little bit of difference of opinion, that's it. It's the end of the game. You know, you go your way, I go my way. Or it's my way or highway. Now that's how we have become, unfortunately. But the Quran points out to that the mu'minun, they are considered as ikhwa, they are considered as brothers. And if we don't see this reality existing in any other faith, that they have called mu'minun as brothers. They have called as friends, but brother and brotherhood is something else. So then this verse came and pointing out to this divine reality, which is brotherhood, and as we said, it ends up where? It ends up to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being God conscious. So a mu'min reforming, rectifying, clearing the differences with keeping in mind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the divine principles that is existing, the reality and the truth, the existence and the presence of God in the creation, as a beautiful poet have said, that the creation is nothing but the reflection of God, same as your reflection in the mirror. Or how beautifully another poet have said that what you see yourself in the mirror is that's you but not you. In the same fashion, the creation is God but not God. So by keeping in mind where would I return? I will return to لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, to that ultimate mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where everything began. In another hadith of, it says, مَثَلُ الْأَخْوَيْنِ مَثَلُ الْيَدَيْنِ يَخْسِلُ أَحَدَهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. The parable, the example of two brothers is like two hands. Once again, when we are discussing brotherhood, this includes the sisterhood within. You know, it's not just brothers you are speaking or addressing to. But the phenomena and the reality is important. I'm emphasizing once again here. So I'll be referring to the term brotherhood as in general, which also includes sisterhood. They are like two hands. And how they help each other to purify, to clean, to wash themselves. You know, when the hand becomes dirty, you really need another hand to help and clean it. That's how it's supposed to be. That's what Imam is pointing out, that the brothers are like that. You know, they are purifying each other. For that purpose, there's two things here. There's multiplicity, but once again, it goes back to that unity. Once again, it goes back to that oneness, which is purification. So, I mean, if one pays it, I mean, that's what Tawheed is all about. To really reflecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in each and every equation. You know, that's why, you know, which we mentioned some of the hadiths earlier in regards to Amir al-Mu'minin, he says, I saw everything but nothing but God in before, after. That's the vision of an arif. That's the vision of a person with a mystique. So therefore, it ends up over there. Al-Mu'min ikhwa al-Mu'min kal-jasad al-wahid. Brothers, you know, Mu'min with a Mu'min, it's, they are brothers of each other. Like just one big body. Like if there be any ailment, if there be any pain, the whole body will be affected by it. So if one mu'min is suffering, one is affected by it automatically. That's how it's supposed to be. But we are so preoccupied. First of all, because of this preoccupation, we tend to cut relationship. You know, it's unconscious. Because we are too much busy into our own world. And as we are, our conscience says that we have to be clean. So as my conscience is saying we have to be clean, little thing, little error, little mistake becomes a reason, oh, it's better. You know, just avoid that. You know, I should be busy and carry on in my own world. And there's a whole psychology, you know, is at play here. That why person cuts relationship, when one analyzes it, it boils down to his own ego, to his own self. Then the hadith continues, it says, arwahuma, the spirit that they have, ruhun wahida. They have that one spirit. Two mu'mineen or mu'minat, within them the spirit that resides is that one spirit. And if that is the case, then obviously the establishment of communities, the friendship, the love that a community will have will be something else. In another hadith, which have a bigger sort of, it encompasses more within it, is from the Prophet.